going to preach tonight out of Psalm 12, if you'll turn there for just a few minutes tonight. I'm going to read that and maybe mention a few other scriptures as well. And then I want to try to bring a brief message that God has got on my heart. All right, Psalm 12. The Bible said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering tongues, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?' For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on in every side when the vilest men are exalted." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. Let's bow together for just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the evening hour that You provided, for the privilege we have to be back in church, to assemble together, to be able to sing the hymns of the faith and preach the glorious gospel of Christ. I want to thank You tonight, Lord, for the choir, the songs that they sang, the special music, the congregational singing. I want to thank You tonight, Lord, for the Word of God that we have before us. And I pray, O Lord, that You'd bless tonight, bless me, that I might be a blessing, and bless the people of God, I pray. Strengthen our heart, Lord, for these days that lie ahead, for the perilous times that we're living in, for the trouble, Lord, that's on every hand. I pray, O Lord, that You'd help us to remain faithful to God, and walk in Thy ways and be obedient to Thy word. I'd ask You tonight to grant liberty to preach. I pray for the power of God. May the Spirit of God anoint me and fill me tonight, and grant me the liberty, Lord, that I need. I pray You to help my body. I pray You to help my weak voice. But more than all, Lord, You'd strengthen my inner man and allow me to preach tonight this passage of Scripture and the thought that is on my heart. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 1 tonight again and more or less take our thought out of that verse where the Bible said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." I've had a thought on my heart for several days this week that I've been rolling around. I really didn't know whether I'd preach on it or not, but I've been meditating upon it. And it has to deal with the signs of the time, the end day that we're living in, those perilous times that the Lord said would come upon the earth, and some of the tragic events that would take place during those times. The Bible said that there would be famine and pestilence, and there'd be earthquakes in divers places. And I think we could all agree that we're seeing that come to pass, not only in parts of the world that we're not too familiar with, but also right here in our own country. I believe that we're seeing nation rise against nation. And because iniquity abounds, we're seeing the hearts of many wax cold. And it ought not, church, it really ought not to amaze us too much, because if we've read and studied our Bible, we know that the Lord has already told us that these days would come upon us. And you may say, "Preacher, that's an odd thought to have for this passage of Scripture." No, my text says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail among the children of men. And I think we're living right there in that hour when we're seeing godly men cease. But we're living in trying times, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe the coming of the Lord is upon us. Now, I'm watching churches go down the drain. I'm watching sin creep into the house of God, and men and women being overtaken with that sin, and entire churches seem to be going down that road of compromise, and that road of complacency, and just more or less they seem to be giving up on God. And I hate to say this, but I believe there's such a tug from the world that we're seeing more and more of God's people being dragged out into the world and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to remind you tonight that there are pleasures in sin for a season, but at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And don't you ever get the idea that the world tonight and the pleasures of the world and what's in this world and the lust of the world and the pride of life and all those things are not tugging and pulling on the hearts of God's people. I'm seeing it more and more all the time, Brother Steve. I'm watching it. And I'm keeping my eye upon it. And I can't help but to look at that verse where it says, the godly man ceaseth. And David said, help, Lord. I'll tell you, we're living in a time when we need help. That's right. When men and women need to be men and women of God and able to get a hold of God and pray down the blessings of God and the power of God, not only on the church, but on our own homes and families and individual lives. It's not a time to give up and lay down and roll over and quit. In fact, this is an unusual psalm. The Bible said that it is upon, I believe, Sheminith, if that's how you pronounce it. And that word signifies the eighth octave to which the song was sung. And there's a lot of scholars that believe because of singing it in the eighth octave that the psalm is about the closing of the 7,000th year and the beginning of that millennial reign of Christ, the 8,000th year upon the earth. And I believe that we're living there. And I see a lot of similarities in this psalm to what's transpiring in the world today. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Now, I'll tell you, friend, I do believe that things are going to get turned up right before the Lord's return. The world is not going to get a bit better. Somebody said, preacher, I'm tired of hearing that. You may get a lot tireder. I want you to understand tonight that sin is not going to get any better. And the world is not going to get any better. But I also want you to know that God's people don't have to wallow in the quagmires of sin. And we don't have to be caught up in Hollywood. And we don't have to be caught up in the athletics. I mean, they talking about the Sweet 16. I ain't seen nothing sweet about it myself. I don't see a thing sweet about it. All I see is a bunch of people throwing money down the drain and a bunch of people are pumped up in pride and swelled up in pride. That's right. And they're throwing their money down the drain on sports events, my friend, rather than putting it to work where they ought to, where it could be beneficial for them. We don't have to get caught up in that. But I believe that's part of the signs of the time. And there's a real tug on authority. World leaders are struggling for authority. Men are spending, are you listening to me tonight? They will set a record, friend, on this election in November as far as electing a president in America. But they're going to spend millions of dollars. I'm not talking about 2 or 3 million. I'm talking about hundreds of millions of dollars to elect a man to a public office. Amen. Somebody said, why, preacher? It's because of power. It's because of, of a desire for power and authority and to have the upper hand in America. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, America just about split down the T tonight, buddy. Come on in the house, children. We're just about divided right down the middle tonight in our country. And there's two sides, and they're struggling for power. I'm telling you, that is one of the signs of the end time. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will be a man that desires great power and even desires to be worshipped by those on the earth. Now, I'm telling you, we're rapidly getting there, if you've got any sense at all. We're getting there. And I'm going to tell you what bothers me more than anything, though, is the decline I see in the people of God. The decline in the power in the church. The decline in godliness and holiness. A decline in righteous living. Rather than having a righteous life, most people tonight are given over to a riotous life rather than a rattling life, rather than the righteous life God comes to provide for us. We're in a mess. And I'll tell you, we need revival. I may not do no more than talk at you, but I'm sure going to talk at you. This song, this thing was sang on the eighth octave. And it closes out the seventh and brings in the eighth. And we're looking at a psalm that deals with the hour that we're living in now. And I can't help but to notice, and I stand amazed at how David said, "Help, Lord!" I wonder how many of us tonight has cried for help, Lord, and why? Because the godly man ceases, and the faithful fail among the children of men. The godly man is in a decline, and the faithfulness of the faithful people is gone down the tube in our churches tonight. God help us. God help us. And it's because we're living in that hour. Now, I've never seen so much satanic oppression either. I have never seen so much satanic oppression. I'm talking about an oppression, friend, that is almost strong enough that you can feel it in your soul if you'll just sit down for a while and meditate and think. You can feel that oppression. Bearing down on the souls of God's people. And more than anybody on God's servant. Brenda, you know what it's like today trying to keep a church up? You know the pressure that men are under in the ministry today who are trying to keep a halfway respectable spiritual atmosphere in the house of God. Just struggling to get people to sing, struggling to get people to pray, struggling to get a hold of God for a little message here and there. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living that. We're living in that hour of the last days. Oh, yes, I know we are. I can't help but to notice again where David said, "Help, Lord." Oh, I tell you, it's just a simple prayer. It's a little suggestive prayer from the lips of David. But I'll tell you, old David sees the death, he sees the decline, and he sees the departure of godly men in the world. And I'll tell you, that ought to cause you and I tonight not to tarry long, but to immediately cry out to God in like manner, "Lord, help!" Because the godly man ceases in our churches today. Where are the godly men? I'm talking about holy men of old. I'm talking about men that really believe in a holy life, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about somebody that don't read the porn books. Come on in the house. They don't tip their toddies and suck their cigarettes and listen to rock and roll. They don't listen to whom bop a bop that rap mess either. And neither do they listen to country and western, buddy. The godly man seeks us. Where are the faithful among the children of men? We're living there. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you think it ain't a struggle today, and that ought to drive you and I to our knees. But I'm afraid instead of being driven to our knees, most folks are being drug out in it. Just like a back current from the oceans dragging would drag folks out into the water. You don't think that happens? Ask Ben and Angie. They stepped out in the ocean down in Mexico a few years ago. That undercurrent grabbed them, and I'm going to tell you, it was a struggle getting back, wasn't it, Ben? And I'm going to tell you, the undercurrent of the world is reaching out, friend, and grabbing a hold of
tonight and pulling them back out into the self pools of sin in their mind first and in reality.
I'll tell you, when that's gone, there's nothing left because the faithful fail among the children of men. The godly man sees it. Where is the godly mama today that'll set their babies in their laps and sing Amazing Grace while they rock them to sleep? Where are the godly daddies that'll creep off in the little baby's bedroom and lay their hands on their little bodies and plead with God for deliverance for their soul and feel the hot tears run down their cheeks? The godly man ceases. Where is the man that will sit at home tonight in prayer and devotion time and read a Bible with his family and pray with his family and give some direct, give some real leadership spiritually speaking to his family? I'm telling you, the godly man ceases. Man, I'll tell you, that ought to drive you and I to our knees. Listen to this by way of introduction, and I'll just give you a few things and we'll go. But Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith." And that word Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And he's not saying, he just alluded to it or headed to it, but the Spirit speaketh expressly for him. Will you and I be a victim tonight? I said, departing from the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. Oh, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. And look here, that's just not talking about a little. That's talking about the entire a body of faith that's been delivered to the people of God. I'm talking about a departing from the faith that is dead, pinned down in the Word of God. Won't have time to get into all of it, but men are writing new Bibles, departing from the faith. And Baptists are swallowing in hook, line, and sinker and departing from the faith. It is there. And I want you to listen carefully now, and I'm going to try to tie this in. But when men depart from the faith, that departure brings on a lack of conviction in the house of God.
Right.
Amen. You got your faith. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter days some shall depart from the faith.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when men begin to depart from the faith, there's not much conviction, friend.
Right.
And sinners will never be saved without conviction, and saints will never get right without it.
I'm talking about without the power of God coming on the hearts of people to get it right.
Amen.
But breaking the hearts of people to get them right.
Amen.
Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. And not only departing from that, from the faith where there'll be no conviction, but then there'll be no conviction.
Right.
You get a hold of that now, no conviction.
Amen.
Oh, we've got preferences, but not many convictions. I won't say I'm just as guilty as everybody else. A lot of things I thought was a conviction I'm learning was just a preference to me.
Amen.
Come on back in the house, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you a conviction, something you're willing to die for tonight.
It's something you're worth, that's worth dying for.
Amen.
And we're not seeing too many convictions.
Amen.
Old Brother Jim Mathias called me today. He said, "Brother Hall, send him on, take that old Pentecostal preacher over here." So he said, "I went Saturday night over here at the Lake Malone Park, and there in our phone line, said that old Pentecostal took me over there." He told that old Pentecostal said that his mama was the holy, said she cooked on Saturdays and wouldn't even like put a burner on the stove on Sundays, buddy. We've got a long way from that, and I'm guilty of it.
Yeah,
are you listening? Hey, we don't really consecrate the Lord's Day anymore. I'm telling you, Sunday ought to be God's day. I'm telling you, I eat out on Sunday, but I'm here to tell you also that Sunday is God's day, buddy, and we've got far away from it.
Amen.
You can't get people to come to church on Sunday.
Amen.
Much less give that day to God.
Amen.
Come on back in the house now and help me. He said some would depart from the faith, and look here, doctrine will become polluted. They said some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
But now, oh yeah, well, you'd be surprised at how many devils in the pulpit preaching
Oh, yes, I'm talking about independent Baptists with three-piece suits and King-James Bibles. And they're providing the right way. Oh, they're preaching an easy believism that'll get a profession out of somebody, but it won't get them to God, friend, because they're so convicted by the Holy Ghost around them. Hippos. Doctrines of devils, that easy believism mess. 1, 2, 3, and repeat after me in your ear. Denying the work of the Holy Ghost and despising the Spirit of grace and trampling under their feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God. And folks are given over to that mess. Had a man to call me the other day. He said, "Preacher," he said, "are you ready for this?" I said, "Well, I guess." They had it documented that old Mel Gibson called John Heggie and called Dobson, whatever his name is, and called a bunch of that neo and MacArthur and a bunch of that neo evangelical crap and put them into promoting that ugly before ever made it. I'm going to take them one for the religious crime tonight. That are not declaring the real word of God, and it's all because of the love of money. Hallelujah. Are we getting any word all tonight? Is it hitting deaf ears? I hope not. I'd hate to think I'd call John Hagee for anything. David, Jeremiah, and that crap. If you listen to them, you're wickeder than the devil himself. You can tell them I said that. They're perverted. They pervert the Bible. They pervert doctrine. I just saw in the CBD. Are you getting a come on in the house now? I'll never get to what I was going to
pray. Preacher, preacher.
I said, "Look, Brother Wayne, good enough to get you the CBD. That's my Christian book of scriptures." I said, "Well, no, no." He said, "Look, here it is. You don't think it looks good?" I got to looking at that thing, and here it was. The NIV Youth Bible. The NIV Youth Bible for girls. The NIV Youth Bible for boys. The NIV Youth Bible with marked edition. I'm hey, ain't heard all of them. The NKJV MacArthur Study Bible. The NKJV Study Bible MacArthur for teenagers. The item whoever angle they can come at to sell that perverted damn script that has polluted the word of God. That's a Bible doctrine. And I'm telling you, it's running rampant in America.
Yep.
You can go to a Bible store in Madison and they'll buy a King James Bible.
Right, amen.
Hey, you can't go to a Bible store in Madison and they'll buy a Bible that is fit for Christian consumption.
Amen.
You know how I said that.
Great preacher.
Hey, you gotta go back a long way. Some of you are crucifying me for this. You gotta go all the way back to a pinky and anything decent for
real. Amen.
But the devil's
great.
Word is the truth, friend.
Why, Brother Hall? Lord help! Lord help for the godly man. Teach us, Lord help.
Amen.
And the faithful fail among the children of men, and we're living there. I'm preaching this to you because I'm seeing our church. I've seen it grow cold and get complacent, but I'm seeing a little bit of daylight. Hallelujah to God. I believe I'm seeing a hole in the sky. And brother, I don't want you out in that mess. I want you carried away with divers' lust and all that mess in the world. I already saw one, forget where it was at, and I'm glad I forgot about it. I walked in a place the other day, and the first day the sun come out, and there was a girl in there in short shorts. They can't wait to get naked. Take all their clothes off.
That's right. I'm going to tell you, the men out there, I'm going to call it Super Bowl. Didn't let them out of the cell phone. That's a good name for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Robert, I didn't know I didn't have it on. I'm carried away. That's right, I'm far out there already. Y'all don't know it, but I'm far out there. But I'm telling you what happened out yonder at the Super Bowl, friend, as they call it, is just a prelude to what's going to happen in America. I'm telling you, if they do that in public, can you imagine the filth that's on television tonight and on closed circuit television at that? God, we're going to expect to raise our youngins in that kind of an atmosphere. But I tell you, that's the days of Lot and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're on us in America. Lord, help the godly man's gone. Where is he at, Lord? And where are the faithful among the children of men? God, help us. I'm telling you, we're there. And I wasn't even going to read this, but I'm going to. I should know something was wrong with Robert just laying back there. I thought he's staying back there because he don't want to get blowed out. So he'll just stay out instead of coming in. Amen. Now, hey, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about 2 Timothy? Now, here's what God gave me out of this in 2 Timothy 3. I'll get to my text in a minute. Know this also, there we are, and in the last days, perilous times will come. That's it. That's what I've been preaching on for man. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and here we are, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Now look here, come on in the house. Not only will there be a departure, there will be a departure from faith, and there will be and doctrine will become polluted. But I'm telling you, discouragement in the families over their babies, over their children, and we're living there. I'm going to tell you what now. Some of you in here need to learn to correct and raise your youngest. Oh, yes. Well, little Johnny just wants this and wants that. I'm going to tell you, you better learn to take little Johnny and little Susie in hand, neighbor. Are you listening to me? Hey, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. Now I'm telling you, I've never seen so many discouraged families in all my life, and it's because we're there. We're living there before the trumpet sounds, and God help us to be spiritually ready and mature, and it is my responsibility to preach to you the best I can. I'm going to preach my heart out if I have to, but to prepare you for the coming of the Lord. I don't want your children rebels. I don't want them disobedient. I don't want them to be unthankful. Huh? Somewhere the other day came a little old boy with a woman. She said something. He said, no. She said, now come on, little Johnny. He said, no. I said down in my soul, wouldn't do for little Johnny say, no, me, buddy. It'd be on. Brother Allen say, it'd be real on. Hey, but I'm telling you, it's the spirit of the hour and the signs of the times. There is a spirit in this world, buddy, that's working on the heart of your little ones in a greater way than there was working on you. And you better wake up about it. It's here. That spirit that is here, friend, is working double overtime in a way he didn't work on your children. I mean, on you. Well, that's what Brother Don Anderson said over the other night. I like it. Now listen to me. Here's what Brother Anderson said. He said, I was brought up in a Christian home, but he said, my mom and daddy had a television set and said, we watched television and we went places out in the world and said, but we went to church on Sunday. Brother Anderson said, I've got two boys and said they've never had a TV in their house. They've never been to a Hollywood picture. They have never smoked a cigarette. They've never taken a drink of liquor. They've never been out to any kind of wild party. They've never seen any of the stuff that some of us seen. But they have seen more than what we saw as children when I was my age. And I said, amen. Why, Brother Hall, the spirit of the hour, the signs of the times, perilous times are upon us. I'm not saying this to chide you, buddy. I'm saying this to admonish you and gently exhort you the best I know how to live right. That's right. I'm saying discouragement. And look here, and I like this, and I couldn't get a D lined out for this one. But I'll just mention it. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. You know what he's saying there? These preachers with itching ears, buddy, and tickling ears. They're turning people away from the truth and turning them to fable. I mean, just a little dream. They're not preaching anything to them. I was talking to Brother Brown the other night, and I was telling him about what I found about Lot's wife and about Korah and the sons of Korah. The earth opened up and swallowed them up alive. I told him, I said, old Thomas Matton said that back in those days that God dealt with them physically and they died. And these days He deals with them spiritually and they're not dead. They don't die, but they're dead. They're just deadness. They're not dead. They're deadness. Old Brother Brown said, I'll guarantee you won't see that preached in many churches. Hey, men of God ain't going to preach that. It would be offensive for a preacher to tell some of his people, you may be sitting on a pew, and the reason that you're dead tonight, and the reason there's no life tonight, and the reason there's no spirit tonight is because how God has dealt with you in your life. And God's dealt with you in your life that way because you dealt with God the way you dealt with God. My spirit shall not always strive with man, and when striving is over, God's done. Mark her down, buddy. I just wonder how many our churches are dead tonight because they Lot's wife sitting on one side and the sons of Korah on another, and Ananias and Sapphira sitting out in the middle. And there's deadness in the church. But it ain't no wonder Jesus said about them Jews, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Son, you better dig in and hang on. That's right. I don't believe in enduring to the end, but I do believe in persevering to the end. Am I getting across to anybody tonight? Is it not touching nobody? For you to know that we're living in an hour when the devil is deceiving people and people are being deceived and deceiving themselves. We're living that. Lord, help. When was the last time you cried, Lord, help? I'm going to go home tonight and say, well, the service wasn't as high tonight as it was this morning. I don't know what the problem was. Instead of going home and grumbling, we ought to go home, fall on our face and cry, Lord, help! Are you listening? Come on in the house now. I'm going to say three or four things and I'm done. I'm going to say number one. In these days, we're seeing from the text now. And I'm just going to read through these and we're going home. But I want to say in the text, and I want to point these out to you. At number one, where there's going to be, according to this Psalm, Psalm 12, there's going to be a falling away. Lord, help. The godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail among the children of men. There is a falling away tonight, friend. And except there come a falling away, that man of sins will not be revealed. And I'm telling you, there is a falling away. And I've often wrestled that around and said, Lord, where will this falling away, where will it be manifested? Boy, and I could preach for an hour and a half right here. It's going to be manifested, number one, in morality. Morality in the church! Come on in the house. I want you to listen right here. We have been spared from some of the mess that we've seen in Baptist churches. Well, there's Baptist churches in our land that says just overwhelmed with adulterers and adulteresses and drunks and pornos. Oh, yes, and child molesters right in the house of God. God's kept a hand on us. Brother, we ought to praise Him for that. Thank God for that. But there is a decline, buddy, in morality. I'm talking about morality relating to the practice, the manners or conduct of men. They're social beings in relation to each other with reference to right or wrong, the The word moral is applicable to actions that are toward good and evil and virtuous or vicious. Have reference to the law of God and the standard by which their character is to be determined. And the law of God will determine our character. Brother Steve taught on that law of the Lord this morning. I'm telling you, if you want to know where you, what kind of a man you are, buddy, read the law. Look in the mirror of the law and it'll tell you what kind of a man you are tonight. Amen. That law will get a hold of the external. But if you want to bring her down tight, look in the mirror of the New Testament, buddy, and watch grace go internal on us for a little while. That's where our problem is tonight. We don't want to examine the internal man. I'm telling you, we have done well external, but the internal is still messed up. And if we don't get the internal right, after a while, it'll be external on us too. What's on the inside will come out. And we can clean up on the outside. But if we don't look on the inside, do some changing in there. After a while, that what's on the inside is going to be made manifest on the outside. Amen. Oh, morality is falling away. I've never in my life women killing their own children, own little babies. Man out in California the other night, a polygamist, I think that's what they call him, had four wives and killed seven of his own little children. Had caskets stacked in the house for him. Come on, are you listening to me tonight? Hey, we've got sodomites out on the West Coast and sodomites on the East Coast. And, buddy, the morality of America, who would have thought that we'd had to fight for the right to pass an amendment to define what marriage is? Come on, and I'm going to tell you, and it don't seem to bother America, but we ought to be crying tonight, Lord, help the godly man gone. Lord, help us. I've never seen such a mess. Liars and cheats and thugs, and they'll do anything for a dime. They're in a class action lawsuit now with the hospital up here, and that man up there may have done wrong. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that field. Never read an x-ray in my life. Couldn't read one. Had 10 million of them in front of me. And I'm going to show you something. All that crowd begins to file a lawsuit against that place up there, and if they can't handle the financial pressure and they go under, I'm going to tell you who's going to hurt. The very morons and idiots that filed the lawsuits. The law says, hey, that money in their hand, it ain't gonna help their loved one bit. It's greed, son. It's the disease of the hour that we're living in. It's greed and loss and the desire to help. I'm gonna tell you, they may not be much of her, but bless God, they've helped me a few times. Amen. Say amen up and down. Oh, me either one. You would thank God to see any doctor up there if he's having a heart attack. Any of them, buddy. If there wasn't nobody else around, I'd thank God if a veterinarian come along could help me a little bit. You know you would too, wouldn't you? If you had an artery severed and was bleeding to death, you would thank God if a veterinarian come along. Years ago, we had an old coon dog, just an old mutt, and he got tied up in the fence and got one of his legs all bunged up. Took him up to Doc Woodruff, a veterinarian. He said, I can't do nothing here. So take him down to the hospital. And they took that old dog in the operating room of Scott County Memorial Hospital, and Dr. Billy Jack Woodruff took his leg off in the hospital, buddy, on the operating table. That's right. Hey, there's times where things... That's right. Now, what if that'd been you? Or one of your babies? Or one of your babies swallowed something, couldn't get it out, huh? Come on in the house. I'm telling you what it's going to do. Hey, over the love of money, it's the root of all evil, buddy. And it's pulling our country down and destroying the morality of our land. Hallelujah. You may not know it or not, but God's pleased with what I'm saying. Amen. There's a falling away in morality. I want to say number two, there's a falling away in manliness. I'm talking men that'll be men. I'm not talking about weightlifters now. I'm not talking about mighty atlases. I've walked by. You can't help it. You walk by and you look and it's there. Stupid newsstands, and they got these women out there and they got more muscles on them than most men I know.
I'd hate to be married to somebody like that. Number one, I'd be afraid she'd whoop me. I won't be married to somebody like that. When I'm talking about manliness, I'm talking about what Peter talked about when he said, God virtue to godliness, or add godliness to virtue, or something like that. That's manliness. That word virtue means manliness. In other words, he's saying we need some men. We need some men that will be holy, men that will be godly, men that will take their family by the way and live a godly life and direct that family. Keep them in church down at the house of God. Amen, brother Hall, amen. Come down at the house and sing, buddy, and worship God like the house is on fire. Amen. Fight the devil like we're fighting hornets off our head. Hallelujah to God. God's looking for men. That's right. Men will stand up and fight this holy war. I won't say this, but just about any man can pick up a gun and shoot somebody. Now some men can. Thought something like this little boy the other day in the National Guard down there. He's a foreigner, of course. Now, I'm a conscientious objector. He wasn't when he joined the Army. I'd take him back over in the heat of the battle, something like they done. Or Uriah, but in withdrawal from him, say, fight her out, big boy. Amen. Hey, some of them won't. I'm talking about cowards. As far as I'm concerned, that man is a coward. I'm going to show, and look here, buddy, ain't we a preaching tonight? I'm going to show you how four Americans down the drain. In World War II, that man would have faced a firing squad and died, buddy. They classified him as a deserter. In wartime, that is death. I said there's a few of them died in an overseas shot in the back. I don't doubt that. I'd be like Patton, buddy. If I'm going to take it, I won't take it between the eyes. I ain't going to take it in the back like a fool, like a coward. Hallelujah. Thank you. Say amen. Manliness, a little bit of valor, a little bit of courage, a little bit of boldness about it. Then it said the faithful fail among the children of men. The faithful fail from among the children of men. There's not only a falling away, but there's a failing of the faithful. Now, can you get a hold of that? I'm talking about the faithful people failing. Those that are faithful, those that are done. And moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. But yet, hey, he said in that eighth octave, buddy, that the faithful of men, the faithful would fail among them. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Hall, try the best I can, but every now and then it'll creep up the back of my neck and the devil say, won't you just forget it? They ain't worth it. They don't care. They don't give a rip. They don't care whether you pray for them or preach to them, and they ain't listening, and they ain't going to do a thing you preach no less. Devil will tell you that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If they just one or two sitting out there getting it in and willing to do, buddy, we'll keep on ripping around. That's right. Keep on being faithful. I'm telling you, God loves the faithful. We're going to be judged for how faithful we are. I'm going to tell you, we might not have all the God we want, but I'm telling you, if we'll form in here every service time, getting that choir and sing, when God says the choir sings, the choir sings. When God said the preacher preach, come in here, Brother Hall, and just find God, bless God with all you got, and let a rip tell them about Jesus and how wonderful He is. How hallelujah, and how they died to save all sinners like you and I. Get on that piano and don't let them ivory keys get out of us. That's right. We got an airplane in here. Hallelujah. I started to say, don't turn off the organ, but we might all turn it off. It's sick in its belly. Sounds like. Got the tummy ache. Got the virus everybody's been having. Amen. I want you to get a hold. I want you to listen carefully. Uh-oh. I want you to listen carefully now. When godliness goes, faithfulness inevitably will follow. I'm telling you, when standards and convictions go, faithfulness is next. And it ain't long in going either, friend. Now listen very carefully. This verse does not imply that men of faith fail or that their faith fails, but that men of faith will become unfaithful. Faith is not going to fail. But I'm going to tell you, buddy, men can become unfaithful. Unfaithful with their money. Unfaithful with prayers. Unfaithful to the house of God. Unfaithful with family devotions. Unfaithful with prayer altar. It's going to take that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to clarify something today when I was preaching on that verse. And I said, man's goings are the Lord. Brother Ricky was talking. He said, women too, preacher. That word man is all inclusive word of all mankind, all humanity, all humanity. All humanity. Don't leave me now. We're failing in our march. That's right. We're just standing. We're marking time. I never forget old Sergeant Kester said, mark time, hut! And there we stand. Oh, we're marching, but we ain't going nowhere. In time, friend, I'm going to tell you why. Because the faithful fail among the children of men. And we have no vision of going on for God. We have no vision to conquer. We have no vision to overcome the enemy and conquer them. Whew. Hallelujah. Told somebody the other day, I said they might have to make some of us old timers get back over and take care of Bin Laden. When they get him pinned down, I like to get over in the thick of it. Hallelujah. I was looking at that paper today at Al Zawahiri, whatever his name is. He'd be Al Zawahiri if I was in charge of that mess. They need to back off them 105 rounds they're putting in there on them, son, and come in airborne with something that'll shake the ground under them. Amen. I want that crowd over here killing my kids. And they will! They will! They will! And we got a bunch of cowards, old John Kerry. Well, I was a war hero, but I'm not in favor of the war. You know what he said? He didn't vote for that $87 billion to support that war. You know what he said the other day? Well, I was for it before I didn't vote for it. Oh, how dumb can you get? That's a bad mistake for politicians. Double minded there a little bit now. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't no war hero over our 4 months and got 3 Purple Hearts and never missed a day of combat. I was over there, buddy. I know better than that. You don't get Purple Hearts and miss combat, do you, Brother Cater? He's over there. Man's going to get shot and get a Purple Heart, buddy. He's going to lay up. That's old Jackie Gwill down there next time. You got a scar from there to there, buddy. That's how he got his Purple Heart. You ain't going to find no scars on Cater. The only thing you're going to find on him is a yellow streak down his back. Yeah. Amen! Yeah. Yeah. Back to preaching like I used to, and I'm liking it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Hey, we're not unfaithful in the march. We're unfaithful in our marriage. No devotion, no dedication. Notice this now, and I'm trying to hurry. Then there's a flattering lips. In verse number 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. I'm going to tell you, how many double-hearted preachers have we got flattering people? Amen. They're deceitful. They fill the hearer with proud conceits, and they're vain and they're worthless. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say, and I'm hurrying through this. Compliments are fawning congratulations are hateful to most honest men. Most honest men don't want all them congratulations and pats on the back. Now I'm fixing to tell you why. They know that if they take, they must also give. You get a hold of that? Come on in the house. And according to verse number 5, look up there very quickly. The very bottom of it. It says, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. They puff. Charles Spurgeon said, he who puffs at another's heart has nothing but wind in his own. That's right. Come on in the house, boys and girls. We ain't time with you. We're yawning, Brother Jerome. Look at verse 3b. Notice this, and we're closing here in just a minute. Said the Lord shall cut off all the flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Flattering lips and proud tongue clashed together. They flatter one another, and then they flatter themselves. You ever been around anybody like that? They like to talk with their mouth about things and try to flatter you, making you think that they're the greatest thing that ever lived, and before they're over there talking good, they've done flattered themselves. Amen. I get all this now, and I'm hurrying. I'm hurrying. And then notice in verse number 2, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. With a double heart do they speak. One commentary said, a heart and then another heart. And one fellow said, one heart for the church and another heart for the change. One for Sundays and one for Mondays. Ain't we there today? Folks have got a real religious heart on Sunday. But Monday their religion is gone. I'm telling you, it's because of the signs of the time that we're living in. Amen. Then I close with the Father's Word. Oh, no. Wait a minute. I want to mention this. A man without a heart is a wonder, but a man with two hearts is a monster. So, that's pretty good to get a hold of it. Then notice the Father's words, and I'm closing with this. He said in verse number 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. I want to say this in closing. Listen very carefully. I'm reading this. The Bible has passed through the furnace of persecution, literary criticism, philosophic doubt, and scientific discovery. And it has not lost anything but human interpretations. Can you get a hold of that? And those human interpretations cling to the Bible just like alloy clings to gold. Some of y'all can't get a hold of that. Somebody years ago brought me a little old piece of coal. And he said, preacher, he said, I want to give you this. I said, look at this gold. And boy, it just glittered. Just stand that gold just glittered. I looked at it and I said, man, that's something. He said, you know what that is? I said, look how gold. He said, that's pyrite. It's a phony alloy that ain't worth a dime. But it clung to that piece of gold. And I'm going to say that, ladies and gentlemen. Phony alloy will cling to the real gold as well. And hang on to it. Get in that furnace God puts us in, purified 7 times. That pyrite's got to come loose. And God will purify us just like He purified that word. Amen. Thank you, Benny. Let me have a kiss this evening. Amen. You sweet children, dog. Got that jaw about half off. Signs of the times. We're living there, folks. I've tried to encourage you tonight. I've not chided you, honestly, before God. I have tried to encourage you to stand fast in the Lord, because a godly man ceaseth. And the faithful fail among the children of men. But I'm going to say, we better get a hold of God, brethren, ladies and gentlemen. We better get a hold of God. Because I'm saying, don't think it can't happen to you. Take heed when you think you stand up. About that time when you're going to fall. Don't get the big head now. Don't get swelled up. You can fall, so can I. Every one of us in here can. Better draw it close to the heart of Jesus. Let's stand together.